If you've never looked at Israel's existence and how miraculous it is that they even still exist, then you need to, because that's a faith builder. When you see God choose a people, tell them that if they don't repent, He's going to scatter them around the world, but then regather them in the last days. He did it. People say, there's no evidence for God. Yes, there is. The nation of Israel is one of the great evidences for God. Look at Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. We're going to start right there in verse 1. You'll see the apostate leaders of Israel, they're called shepherds. Verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the, what?
Shepherds.
Woe be to the
shepherds.
Shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You got preachers all over America making over $100,000 a year, plus transportation, plus living. They call not living expenses. There's something they call that, but it's not considered part of their actual pay. They have
housing allowance.
There you go. Thank you. They have a fund for their books. They have a fund for their every clothes, their suits, and then they also get 6 weeks paid vacation. Some of them four, but I know guys are getting 6 weeks a year paid vacation. That doesn't count when they go off to things like minister retreats and things like that. And then in the retirement, you know, 401k and all that. Great health insurance, better coverage than most of the people in the church family that they're over. That's bad enough if they're actually teaching the Bible. But most of those shepherds are what Jesus called hirelings. And they're not even teaching the Bible. And they're not trying to disciple anybody. They're just doing time, pulling a paycheck. Verse 3 says, ye eat the fat and ye clothe you with the wool. That means they're eating the best portions, the best clothes. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Read verse 4. It's long, but read it with me. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And that's what happens even in fundamental churches. And you know, we've had people accuse me of being, you know, like a dictator and that kind of stuff. It's just laughable. I mean, because I can't win, because then other people say, you know, you'd get more done if you just make people do more and you'd tell people, you know, like, you can't win. And you know what? I'm going to do things the way the Bible says to do them. And the Bible says I'm to preach the word.
Amen.
And then the Holy Spirit in you will lead you to do what's right if you will obey Him.
Amen.
Not me, Him, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if we're not going to function like that, then we're going to close the doors. I'm not going to be one of these guys that has to tell everybody every move to make and put everybody in and tell them every, you know, just ain't going to happen, because that's not the way God set it up. And the apostate people are then called sheep. And that begins verses 5 and 6. Go ahead and read that with me. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And we go out preaching the gospel. We go out on the street and do street ministry. We go out handing out tracts. And people have told us, No one's ever given me one of those before.
Yeah.
Now, every once in a while, credit where it's due, every once in a while we run into somebody who says they got one. And you know where it's usually from? Another fundamental Baptist church.
Yeah.
High Street, Capital City, used to run into people, get them from there. And then there's a West Side Baptist or something like that. I can't remember which one. North Climbers, that's who I was trying to think of. Yeah. But not as many as ought to be. So judgment on Israel's leaders, again, referred to as shepherds, beginning there, verse 7. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. How many of you just think of TBN when you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, these word faith charlatans with their jets and their limos, and they just living like kings. And most of the people sending them money are poor.
Yeah.
And I told the story of going to pray for people like that. And I'll never forget going to the home of a man who's dying of a brain tumor. He's laying there in his little hospital bed, and his mom and dad are just there, just broken. And they had every little TBN trinket that they offer, because every month they faithfully sent them their money with the prayer request for their son. I'll guarantee you, I doubt if anybody ever even prayed over that. A lot of these guys get their prayer requests, and they take the money out and throw the prayer request in the trash. They've been caught doing it.
Yeah, right.
That's what this is describing. It was going on in Israel, but it's going on today, big time.
Yeah.
Verse 9 says, therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Read verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And so, as we said, the verse 16 closes with Israel being preserved throughout history. Well, they're lost sheep. Not the lost tribes of Israel. The Bible never calls them that. But Jesus referred to them as the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Amen.
God knows where the tribes are. He hasn't lost anything.
Amen.
But they're lost in the sense that they're not following their shepherd. That's why they're called lost sheep. And so read verses 11 and 12 with me. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, read with me, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. You just read about the 2,000-year history of the diaspora. The Jews scattered all over the world. And look what it says in verse 13. And I will bring them out from the people. It's talking about the Gentiles. And gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. You are witnessing that right now if you're paying attention.
Amen.
God fulfilling prophecy spoken about 2,800 years ago. 2,800 years. There's not a book on the planet like this. Not a book like it. So finally, as it's described in their latter-day gathering, I already read verse 13. Verse 14, he says, I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel. What did he say back then, Hosea? He'd feed them like a lamb in a large place. Ezekiel's confirming that right here. He says, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Read 15 and 16. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and will feed them with judgment. Amen.
Amen.
So God's purpose is not just the physical regathering of Israel. He will save a remnant and rule over them. In Matthew 10, 5 and 6, I just mentioned this. Jesus said this. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it, but you can if you're fast enough to get there. Matthew 10, 5 and 6. I thought I had it quicker than that. You're probably there before me. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not."
Amen.
Read verse 6 if you're there. "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Lost sheep, not tribes, lost sheep. But that was why Jesus came, was to gather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he came into his own, and his own received him not. And so, go to Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. I guess I got it up there somewhere. Yeah. Romans 11, for context, begins, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite," this is Paul speaking, "of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew." And I want to skip now, go ahead and skip down to verse 25. Romans 11, 25. Talking about Israel, the whole chapter. Continues in verse 25, he says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel." And that's in part, in a big part. The mass majority of Jews continue to reject Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Read verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And he says, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." He hasn't taken away yet. "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Watch this. "For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief," that's us Gentiles, "even so have these also not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." That's why we preach the gospel to them. Verse 32, read that. "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." So that's what's going on. And we're seeing this. Anybody alive today can see Bible prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes.
Amen.
That's why they're going to be without excuse when they stand before the Lord on Judgment Day.
Amen.
But you just can't, you can't afford it. You can take the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Jenny and I watched Ray Comfort talk to a guy for an hour, an atheist, and spell this stuff out, spell out the gospel and all that, and explain to him the reason he's rejecting the gospel is because he loves his sin and he needs to repent. And Jesus died for you. He wants to save you. He loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All that. He laid it all out. The law. The guy admitted he's a lying, blaspheming thief, needs to be saved. Well, that's all he can do. The guy didn't get saved. So far as I know, he hasn't gotten saved. But that's all we can do. And that person then will be held accountable for the fact you gave him the truth. So it says there in verse 17, "Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone." Now, the Lord refers to Israel as Ephraim 36 times in Hosea. Instead of Israel, calls him Ephraim. Now, you ask the question, why? This is my opinion. This is some Gregology. But I really believe this. I believe it's in deference to the man, the real man, Jacob, who became known as Israel the Patriarch. His name was being trashed by his apostate descendants. I've heard of people now. I was bad enough. My dad could have said this to me, but I don't recall him doing so. But I know some men, some young men who got out of hand and really got so bad. Their dad said, "I wish you didn't even have my last name." Well, that's what God's telling Israel right now.
Yeah.
He's saying it here and he's saying it today.
Yeah.
But he's long-suffering and gracious. So it continues and says, their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love give ye. Now, I want you to understand that last phrase, but I want to start there by explaining that contrary to popular belief, wine doesn't turn to vinegar. I've heard people teach this and they say their drink is sour and they'll say it turned to vinegar. It doesn't turn to vinegar. It actually just gets sour and disgusting. It's just plain useless. And that's what he's saying about Israel. They've just become plain useless. Israel's useless leaders just cry for more taxation. That's what that last phrase, it says, her rulers with shame do love. Now look, is your give capitalized? See, punctuation rules have changed, and they'll continue to change. But when the King James was translated, they didn't use those quotation marks. When you see a comma and a capital, that's to tell you that that is a quote. And so it's saying, her rulers with shame do love. Basically, they love just constantly saying, give ye.
Yeah.
False shepherds, all they're about is money. Give ye. Yeah, it's like they're commanding, demanding. You know, you should give. We've taught on it a couple weeks ago here in the book of Luke. You should give. But you give because God has saved your soul. You give in thanksgiving. That's why you're to be a cheerful giver. But if all you're doing, come to church and hearing week after week, all the time, money, 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 that's not God's church. Because we don't have to beg. You've never heard me beg, and you never will. Where God guides, God provides. If you're in a real church, they don't beg. Remember that. If you ignore that, it's your own peril. But when you got false shepherds, that's all they think about. You know what they are? Preachers who preach on money all the time are Judas. Who carried the money bag? Who complained about the use of the money? The alabaster box. We could have sold that and made money. A guy that has money on his mind all the time isn't in the ministry. All right, you can call it whatever you want, but he isn't in the ministry. The ministry. So, in addition to that, and I think it's just an apostate people. Oh, and in addition to that, apostate people elect these corrupt leaders. So it's not just the leaders. The problem is the people funding the leaders. You know, that guy can get up there and harangue about money all he wants, but you're the ones giving the money, evidently. Amen. So that's the problem. Yeah.
You're giving money to actually serve the Lord. Mm. And actually do it.
Yeah, that's why in those churches you find a lot of big givers because they think that's all they need to do. They've done, you know, oh, I've given a lot of money. And so they don't do anything for the Lord. I've seen that. So then verse 19, we close out. The wind hath bound her up in her wings. God will blow away apostates as chaff. And that's what he did with Israel. Assyria took them off like chaff. Later, Judah would be taken off by Babylon like chaff. After they killed Jesus, Rome took them off like chaff. In the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to blow them out of Israel again, and they'll go into the wilderness until Jesus returns, blown away like chaff, because they continue to persist in the rejection of their Messiah, other than the 144,000 and those who get saved, but they'll lose their lives. Psalm 1:4, you remember, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And that's what he's saying here. And then it closes with the words, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. That seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Ashamed because of their sacrifices. I think it's sort of, at least partially like what Jenny just said. That you're given sacrifices thinking, oh, this is all I got to do. God's going to be pleased with me even though I'm living a double life and I'm a liar and a cheat. And no. Sacrifice doesn't impress God when the heart is not right.
Amen.
When the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, what He means is someone whose heart is right with Him and has a peace that passeth all understanding and gives with joy because, number one, they know the Lord loves them, they love the Lord, and they are giving with joy.
Amen.
And not with regret. Or I could have used that to buy some more golf clubs, you know, or whatever. And that's where a lot of people give. I want to look at Isaiah. We're in the neighborhood. We might as well stop by and say hi. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. I just have to start at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. He's talking to Israel. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. You got to say there's something wrong here because the whole book of Leviticus says he wants this.
Yeah.
So what's changed? Verse 12, when ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Read verse 13 with me. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. That's true today for all the cults like the Seventh-day Adventists who pretend to keep the Sabbath and all that. It's true today of the Jewish synagogues. And it'll be true during the tribulation period in that blasphemous temple that's going to be set up in which the Antichrist will commit the final abomination in. God says it makes me sick. He says in verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. Even though they're obeying His word in technicality, but their heart isn't there. I am weary to bear them. Verse 15, he says, and when ye spread forth your hands, like the charismatic churches, you see them do it all the time, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Read verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Amen.
He says, but if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. There's some heavy stuff, isn't it?
When Samuel came up to Saul, it goes along the same lines.
Yeah, Saul was offering blood sacrifice, but he was doing it in the wrong place, and he was the wrong person to do it.
Yeah.
And he said, go ahead and read it.
Let's see. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
To obey is better than sacrifice.
What is that reference again?
1 Samuel 15:22.
So the closing thoughts is give, but start with your heart. You're supposed to start with your heart. And on the flip side, if you don't give, there's something wrong with your heart.
Yeah.
So you think about that. You can give and be wrong with God. But if you're right with God, you will give.
Amen.
That's Bible. And I want to sing about this in page 83 in your hymn book. And I want you to pay attention to these words. Some of you heard me say this before, but some of these Christmas songs you get put in the closet 11 months out of the year, and they shouldn't. This is one of them.